Wednesday afternoon and officially on a Monday morning this past week, Gary Rush Chevrolet Cadillac opened its new doors down there right up the street from us here, not far from where they were. You know, I have Brad Russ here, and I always used to say, Brad, you know, you can find us right here, right up the street from Gary Russ, right between Burger King and Bank of America. Now I've had to change my spiel here. But, Brad, congratulations on opening your new dealership.
Thank you very much. We're quite excited. Long time coming, but finally happened.
That's right. And I tell you what, you know, it's got to be a big change. I tell you what, when you drive up or down the bypass, that is a star right there for you.
Well, thank you. We are very, very excited to be there and look forward to great things in the future from that spot.
Now, I remember you telling me, I came by this morning and I just wanted to see the dealership and everything. And I tell you what, that is a marvel there. But one of the biggest things I think that you were telling me is all the little things that have to be GM motor spec. I mean, everything has to be to their spec, or if you're going to change it, you have to go through quite a process to change it.
Quite a process to get some variances, as they referred to them, from what they have prescribed for stores. But the program is commonly referred to as EBE, which is an acronym for Essential Brand Elements, and it's just GM's attempt to standardize the look and the features that the General Motors dealerships have nationwide. They're after something, whether you're in Greenwood, South Carolina, or
Timbuktu,
it doesn't matter. In the same way that when you see a Golden Arch, you know that you're looking at a McDonald's. When you see the blue Chevy sign, you know you're looking at a Chevy store.
Absolutely. Well, it certainly is fabulous. You've actually, I just want to tell people, when they go into the walk in the front door, you see this nice curved counter there. That was one of the things that actually you helped design there, because GM normally says we want a information desk, boom, right when you walk in the door.
Right. That is one of the unique features of our store. And while they meaning GM, while they have all these essential brand elements, which are certain things that every store should have and will have, they did give us some freedom to decide maybe where it was that those elements would be. But the counter that you mentioned, yes, that's something that actually goes all the way back to the early plans we had when we first purchased the old Lowe's building. Our original plan was to remodel that space, and there were some really, really encouraging reasons, compelling reasons to remodel that space. It was pretty efficient, but as we studied and researched more and more, we found that while there were a lot of efficiencies on the front side of remodeling that large space, over time you would give back most of those economic efficiencies that you had collected on the front side. You'd give them back with inefficient square footage, you'd give it back with power bills that was way more than they ought to be, and even when you remodeled the area, you still had what now would be a 22, 23-year-old building. So the decision was made not to remodel, and we're grateful and thankful that we were patient and deliberate about waiting and making that choice. But the counter, yeah, it goes all the way back to that. And the counter really was just a way to kind of bring the front half of the building, which is the sales half of the building, together with the administrative and parts and service, which would be the back half of the building. But it works well. We're pleased with how it all fits together and worked out for us.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things that I find amazing, and I have known Gary, your dad, for many, many years, and I know he's a very deliberate man, meaning he doesn't make rash decisions. He takes his time thinking about this. Anybody that knows Gary, and I'm sure just about everybody knows Gary, knows this about him. But I didn't realize, Brad, you were in the same mode. I would figure as a young person you'd be jumping up and down and saying, Dad, gee, can we please just go ahead and get this done?
No, not at all. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And we've not been great help to one another over the years. We tend to analyze and think and analyze and then think some more. So we do not encourage each other towards hasty decisions, but after many, many, many years, it did all get worked out, and we're pleased with the outcome.
Absolutely. I tell you another thing that I really like, just talking a little bit more about the whole facility, is that you filled in that big right there in the front where the water was, you know, and it's all now cars.
Yes,
what was that called?
The detention pond,
yes,
or retention pond. I got an education on some of those things through this project. They look the same to me, but I think the difference is where the water's coming and where the water's going. But I don't know if we had a retention or a detention. It was a big hole, and it wasn't cheap to fill in, but we're glad we did it.
Absolutely.
It certainly changed the look of the property and enabled us to get much closer to the road, which as a retail outlet was quite important to us.
Absolutely, and it looks like you have a whole lot more cars on that lot now.
It does, but you know what? We really don't. It's been a surprise and kind of neat to see. It looks like we've got a whole bunch more stuff, and we really don't. We did
just
have
better display.
It's
then.
Just the way that it sits up there. It's a bit above the level of the road, and it just appears that way. Now we did have some of our new vehicles were across the street in what used to be our old used car lot in our old location. So with everything all together and there's no separation between them. I suppose we have a few more on that particular, well, the front of our store than we had in front of our old store, but it does look like a lot more, and in fact, it's not.
Wow. Well, that's an interesting point. Now, Brad, you know, you of course were telling me that that this building here was built with over, what was it, 80% was built local here?
That is correct. When we look at the contracts that were issued on this project, over 80% of them, 80% of those contracts, or 80% of the dollar amount of the total project, I should say, was written to local contractors. You know, folks like Davis and Floyd, Cullum Electric, Mathis Plumbing, Mathis Heating and Air, lots and lots of local folks, Mounts Glass.
That is great that you did. Now, you were telling me the reason you had your project manager was not local.
No, our general contractor.
General contractor.
The general contractor, of course, provides a project manager to the job site, and we selected a general contractor who was not local. We chose them, however, because they are just about an exclusive constructor of automobile dealerships. And we knew that with the experience they had in working with General Motors through this EBE process that I mentioned earlier, that there would be great efficiencies there. And indeed, now that the project's over, I can tell you that was exactly the case. Every project they've ever been a part of, every automobile construction project they've ever been a part of, we acquired that experience, and it proved to be a great asset to us as we designed and then, of course, constructed the facility. But we contracted with them with the understanding that, hey, look, we're just not going to willy-nilly go hire different folks to come in and work on this job. We want to say so about the subcontractors that you are choosing, and we've got valued relationships here local, and we want to make sure that those folks are included in this project. And that proved to be a wonderful combination. And I will tell you, too, our site manager, who has been in the business for over 30 years, so he's not a newbie in the business at all, but without us asking, unsolicited, he came to me and Dad towards the end of the project and just said, guys, I just want to let you all know, I have never, ever, ever worked on a job site that has gone so smooth and has been such a pleasant experience as I have here in Greenwood, South Carolina. The subcontractors that you folks have made available to us have been fantastic. And, of course, that did not come as a surprise to us that they had done a wonderful job.
But it's not usually that somebody would come forth and say that, though.
Well, that's right. And I, the only building project I've ever been a part of is this, but he tells me that as smooth as ours went was absolutely an exception rather than the rule, that often there's you don't expect a job site to go quite as smooth as ours did.
Well, so. once once you guys started, it really moved. You've got to say that. Once it started, you guys really moved it.
It did, and again, I think a credit to our general contractor. The sequencing of work and all the various different systems that go into a dealership, you know, I'll admit, at a glance, a dealership looks like just a big, large space. There's so much more there than meets the eye. When you start talking about hydraulics and oil delivery systems and air delivery systems and parts storage and a lot of different things that have to be accounted for. And if you've not done it before, which Dad and I had not, you just don't know how valuable having someone that's had experience come alongside you is. But it all worked great.
Well, I know that you have been amazed since when you were at your location right up the street from us here to now. We were even back in your where all the parts are, and you said that you thought you could take the racks from down there and just move them down there. But what did you find? I mean, it's amazing stories, all this stuff.
Well, we were trying to figure out the square footage for our parts department, and we looked at the square footage we had in our old building, and then we looked at some of the choices we had for our new building, and the question right away is, gee, is our parts department going to be big enough? Well, long story made very short, what has happened is in the 30 years that we've been in our store, there's just been great improvement for how it is that you store parts. We had an equipment provider come in and did a survey on our old parts department, and the bins that the parts are stored in, come to find out, we were not utilizing them efficiently. We may have had a 5-square-foot shelf with a 6-inch part in it. New parts bins allows you to become much more efficient in the storage of your parts and pieces. It's referred to as a high-density parts bin, and often you will take a shelf, and you will convert it to a drawer with lots of different little small cubby holes that lots of little different kinds of parts and pieces can go into. So bottom line is we've got more efficient storage in significantly smaller space than what we had.
Which, I mean, that's what I thought was amazing, yes. And I that's just one of the types of things that you were able to do. We had a call from Bud Martin, who is a local contractor. He said, good citizenship for going local. And with all the vehicles, he says it's a beautiful place. Are you going to have any deals going on down there?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, there's nothing like a new building to make you feel motivated, right, Brad?
That's exactly right. Exactly right. And listen, naturally, we're always looking to do business. But I will tell you that we've over the years, as our facility has grown long in the tooth, I should say. We've been a bit withdrawn as far as community activities. We've not been the promoters or the publicists that we need to be, and we're looking forward to, I guess you'd say, playing some offense. We've kind of been in a defensive mode in the last several years for a lot of different reasons, but the economy's looking up. We've got fresh new facilities, and we are looking to go on the offensive where our promotions and things are concerned. So, yes, absolutely.
And he owes money. That's always a motivator right there.
Sure.
So come on down to Gary Russ and make a deal. There you go. Listen, we have, let's take one more question, then we're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors. Betty Edwards is a teacher with the vocational. She goes, what is the chance of getting a tour set up for students? What a learning experience.
Yeah, we would love to have anyone come take a tour. And of course, we value those vocational students quite a bit. I don't have an exact number, but I would venture to say that quite a few of the technicians that are currently employed with us came through the vocational program. So, yes, you call me, we'll make that happen. We're glad to have a nice place that we could
make a tour.
There you go. That's right.
Make a tour. That's great. Hey, what's the number for people to call if they want to call down there after you get off the air today?
Sure. It's area code 864, of course, 229-2521.
2521. So, hey, we're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to be talking about gosh, I think we're going to talk a little bit about how Gary got into the business. We're going to talk about how Brad got into the business. And, of course, we're going to be talking about that great new facility right up the street from us, right here on the 72 bypass. It's the Gary Russ Chevrolet Cadillac dealership. Don't you go away.
Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Here at Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 bypass. Hey, it is, looks like it's clouding up a little bit, but I tell you what, the sun is definitely shining on this end of the bypass. I tell you what, I am so excited to have another business right, moving right up the street here, looking gorgeous. Gary Russ Chevrolet and, of course, Cadillac. They have moved. If you have not noticed it, you've not been paying attention because it's like, wow, every time you drive down or up the bypass. So we are here with Brad Russ. Brad is gotten some good calls. If you'd like to give us a call, have a question, or give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. Now, you know, I really think we need to talk a little bit about the history of Gary Russ. I mean, Gary didn't start out in the automobile business, did he?
No, ma'am, he did not.
You want to tell us a little bit about it?
He did not. Well, yeah, Dad... And I forget the exact year, but Dad...
probably rather you forget the year.
He's glad about that, yeah. Anyway, Dad after high school, had no interest in college. That was more the norm than the exception.
Sure.
Back in the early 60s, which is when he and Mom both graduated from high school, but was not interested in going on to continue his education. Graduated from LBC High School, Langley Bath Clearwater in Aiken County, South Carolina. And one of the best jobs you could land in Aiken County was to get on at what they referred to as the bomb plant. The bomb plant was how the locals referred to the Savannah River site because it was used to manufacture the material that they used to make the first atomic bomb back in the 40s. Nonetheless, Dad got a job at the Savannah River site, and I think Dad had been employed out there for just a couple of months, and he retells the story where he got called into one of his supervisor's office and told him he wanted to speak with him a little bit. So drug him in his office, said, "Yeah, what's the problem?" He said, "Well, Gary, we've got a problem. That's the problem." He said, "Well, what is it?" He said, "Gary, you're just making us all look bad." Dad said, "Yeah, how so?" He said, "Well, I saw you today in the stairwell, and you had not one box that you were carrying, but two. And we just need if you to tone it down a little bit. We can't
slow
have
down.
You, we can't have you working quite so hard. It makes the rest of us look bad." The point being, and Dad began to understand after a period of time being there in that setting, that the only way he could ever hope to have any type of advancement or to grow there would be through two things. Number one was education, which he did not have. And number two was through seniority. He began to understand that how hard he worked, how well he performed at the jobs that he was given would have very little bearing in his promotional opportunities.
And that was a government job.
Well, it was.
Yes, yes, yes it was.
It was. And a long time ago.
Right.
Let's be fair about that. But it just became apparent to Dad that was not going to be a good setting for him. And he had a family friend mention to him that he thought he might do well in the car business. So Dad went and talked with him, and such as it would be, wound up going to work at Bill Vernon Chevrolet in Aiken, South Carolina. And he took to the car business the way a fish would take to water. It was just a natural fit for him. But what he loved about the car business was all the things that he disliked about his other employment, which was this. The car business did not care how much or how little education he had. What the car business cared about, what determined your success in the car business, was were you willing to improve yourself personally, become more skillful at it? Were you willing to work hard? Were you willing to make some sacrifices? Dad embraced those things and has had much success at the car business.
Now, another unusual thing about Gary, though, is he's only worked with two dealerships.
Yes, if you've ever known anybody in the car business, you know that there may not be a great deal of, guys tend to bounce from one spot to another. And the only two stores Dad has ever worked in was the store that he originally went to work for, which was Bill Vernon Chevrolet in Aiken, and his own, which he purchased in 1982.
That's right. And that, of course, was Gary Russ right here in Greenwood,
yes,
1982.
Ma'am.
So he is still there. I saw him this morning.
Yes,
I saw him
did.
In casual clothes, and then I saw him dressed, and I even got to visit his office. And mm-hmm. I tell you what, it's a little adjustment, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know why he was in casual clothes?
He was working out.
Well, he had worked out. That's right. He works out at least 3 days a week, sometimes four.
Yeah, he said the stress made him want to go work out.
That's
it's
right.
It's good to have that opportunity to do that. And
it's a good reliever for him.
Absolutely. But he did tell me this morning that he has, the same furniture, but he's refinished it, and it's looking good in his office.
He's quite proud of that. He's proud of the fact that everybody in the store got new furniture except him. He's recycling some furniture that he had, which the only reason he's able to do that is because his office is not, according to GM, a customer touch point. Anything that's a customer touch point had to have brand new furniture and all had to look the same way.
That's so right. That's why when you go see Gary, it is behind closed doors.
Not just a closed door, but a solid door.
That's right. It's not a glass door. It's a solid door.
That's right.
So interesting philosophies to that, but I think it's great. And, of course, Gary, I think, is just, I think he has to pinch himself every once in a while as he's walking around that place, doesn't he?
Indeed. We all do. We all do. It's way more than we had imagined it would be. You know, when you look at the plans and you tell the architects what you're looking for and you go back and forth and you change this and you do that, still, When you start seeing the walls go up and the paint go on the walls and the lights go in, it's just, wow, I can't believe that we've done all this.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing, yeah.
It's way more than we imagined it would be.
Sure, when a dream becomes a reality.
Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely. Well, so that's how your dad got into this business, but of course you went to Wofford College, you went to baseball, you were a 4-year letterman, you were team captain, you were majoring in, what did you major in?
Eligibility.
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 Did you have plans to go on and become a baseball player? What did you think, Terry?
No, I did not. In fact, I love to tell people the story that my head coach, Mark Lyon, baseball has a fall baseball season, which is the same as football having a spring practice kind of thing. Anyway, love to tell a story about Coach Lyon. It was my freshman year, and we'd been out there, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks in our fall practice season, and Coach Lyon was giving us the standard after-practice talk, talking about what we'd done good that day, what we'd done not so well that day, and he says this. He says, guys, you've been in school now about 5-6 weeks, and we didn't start baseball immediately when we got to campus, but the academic load is beginning to ramp up. Things are probably becoming a challenge to you. Let me encourage you all, if you sense or detect that you're falling behind academically, please get help somewhere. You do not want to fall behind. It's a hard hole to dig out of. Get help from your professor, your faculty advisor, an upperclassman. Heck, even come see me. Just don't fall behind. And then he said this, which forever marked me. He said, guys, remember this. The only person here that gets paid to play baseball is me. And he was referring to himself. And the only way any of you will ever get paid to play baseball is if you too decide to coach one day. And his point was the baseball at Wofford was to enhance our educational experience. It was a privilege to be able to play for the camaraderie, for the fun. But the main thing always was education. Baseball was merely to enhance our educational experience. And those weren't just hollow words for him. He truly, truly managed our team by that philosophy. But what it enabled us to do is it enabled us to have a whole heck of a lot of fun. None of us took ourselves too seriously. We knew, of course, that none of us would ever, as he said, get paid to play baseball unless we decided to coach one day. We understood who we were. We played within ourselves, and we had some pretty darn good baseball teams. We beat people we had no business beating, I believe, because they did take themselves too seriously. They were all convinced they were going to be the next Chipper Jones when there was no chance of that happening, but they didn't enjoy the game for what it was. We had great camaraderie on our team, teammates that that cared a lot about each other, and that certainly paid a dividend competitively. Sure. We had some good teams those years.
Absolutely. Now, you majored in?
Eligibility first, which was to ensure my GPA kept me eligible to take the field.
Right.
I was a sociology major, sociology I love. I've always enjoyed understanding and learning about cultures and why people do the things they do sometimes. And
it probably plays well in today's world.
Well, you know, it does. If I had been a bit more gifted mathematically, I might would have pursued a business degree, but that was not going to happen. No, ma'am, it wasn't. So enjoy the sociology, and yes, ma'am, it does serve me well even in business. When you the fact of the matter, particularly in my world, it's people. It all boils down to people. Understanding people and how to communicate and understanding all perspectives, that's a valuable perspective to have anytime you're dealing with the
public.
Now,
when you were majoring in this and your baseball and everything, when you came out of college, what were you thinking you would do?
Well, Dad had always been very plain with me about my opportunities in the car business, and the bottom line that I understood was that I was welcome to come and see if the car business was something that I enjoyed. That door was always open. However, there was absolutely zero expectations placed upon me. In fact, Dad probably let that pendulum swing a little bit in the other direction, which was even as a teenager, I was never one to go wash cars. I had some part-time work, but never for Dad. And I think part of that was him not wanting to even season me with the thought that there were some expectations from him that I would come be a part of the business when I did finish school.
Some of that entitlement idea.
Exactly, exactly. Because
right.
The truth of the matter is, you got to love what you do. And in the car business, if you don't love what you're doing, well, forget that. I believe that you're destined to be average. You're always only going to be average unless you choose something that you enjoy. When you find something you can enjoy, it's at that spot that you can put above average effort, and at that point you will get above average results. But no, ma'am, he did not expect me to join him. I was not sure that I would enjoy the business. I went. There was a season when I wasn't sure that's exactly what I wanted to do, but over time, with some additional responsibilities, the work became a bit more gratifying to me, and I can't imagine now, all these years later, doing anything any different. But day one, he told me this. He said he loved me enough and cared for me enough that if he determined that the car business was, well, not going to be good for me, that he would certainly let me know that, which I appreciated, absolutely appreciated. Did not want to be a mediocre automobile dealer.
Absolutely. So you have been in this, and how long have you been there now?
Well, I graduated in May of
42 years. Is that what you told me?
Well, people ask how long I've been in the car business. I tell them 42 years, which is exactly how old I am. But I finished school in May of 92,
mm-hmm.
and I think I had a week off and joined Dad latter part of May 1992. So it's been, 20 years now? Hard to believe.
Hard to believe, isn't it? Yeah. So this is it. This is what's happening. It is right down there, Gary Russ Chevrolet Cadillac, right up the street. I tell you what, if you've got a question for us, how about give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. When we come back, we're going to be talking a little bit about what happened when the bailout happened. Chevrolet went through bankruptcy, how that affected things, and where we are today. So don't you go away. You come right back with us. We'll be right back.
This is Philip Biffle, your Greenwood Edward Jones Financial Advisor. Do you have a recovery plan for your investments? If not, there are several reasons we think you should. While interest rates are very low, certain income strategies and investments could help increase your investment income. Also, many investment portfolios are out of balance at a time when proper investment diversification may be most critical. You also may want to review your portfolio to consider replacing lower quality investments with higher quality investments that may be at attractive prices. No one can control what the market will do next. You can, however, take advantage of investment opportunities that exist today. At the same time, it is important to be well positioned for whatever the market does tomorrow. Please call me, Philip Biffle, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Please call me, Philip Biffle, at 229-0444, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
That's right. We're right back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We are talking with Brad Russ. He is, of course, Vice President of Gary Russ Chevrolet Cadillac. And we're going to be talking some more about what actually happened when, you know, the bailouts, the bankruptcy, the whole thing, and how that has actually put General Motors in better stead to compete today. And, of course, they have come out with some excellent new cars. And, you know, if you are in the market for a car, I'm just going to say it, you got to go down there and check it out. And if the service department down there, oh, my God, what a place. You know, you and I were talking earlier today, and you said that people used to come there and just, like, get your oil changed and get stuff done, and you had your regular loyal customers, but you really didn't think that you were getting the new faces, and we do have
right.
a lot of new faces coming into this area. And you said in the last 3 days you've seen more new faces than can remember.
Yeah, we sure have. Well, the thing is this, and we've been blessed by the people of Greenwood. We've been here since 1982 and have had a wonderful, loyal following and do a lot of repeat business. Repeat business is wonderful, but when you step away from that, you just wonder how many new people, how many fresh faces, how many new customers are not choosing to do business with you, and you have to pause and ask yourself why. And we felt like our facility was a chief reason that we weren't seeing new faces. If you were to ride by my place and, our old place, there was nothing attractive about it at all. And hey, listen, we were and we still are far from perfect. But we believed that our building said nothing about who we actually were and who we actually try daily to be, which is professional, competent, competitive, successful, friendly, organized. Nothing about my old facility
said
any of those things. It didn't. It just flat did not. So we think by having a facility that represents on the outside who we desire and try real hard to be on the inside will be very, very good for our business.
Absolutely. Now, of course, though, one of the reasons, of course, there are many, but one of the reasons that you either had to redo or move at that point when GM actually made you sign new agreements
right,
and everything.
Right.
What happened there?
Well, most of that gets back to the bankruptcy season, which was a real hard time for GM. And its dealers. It was a scary, frightening time, lots of uncertainty there. But what happened in the bankruptcy, what happens in any bankruptcy, as I came to understand, is that when you go through this, what they usually refer to as a reorganization, basically you've got an old company that enters into this season of bankruptcy, and that old company goes away, but from that, a new company is created. And what happened when GM went through bankruptcy is when they came out, they went to the dealer body and said, hey, you're still here, we're still here, we have crafted a new contract with you. If you want to remain a GM dealer, then these are some standards, these are some things that you're going to need to do. And included in that, amongst a lot of other things, was facilities. And while certain state laws provide certain dealers certain protections, franchise laws they're referred to, which says that the corporation cannot force independent franchise folks to do things that are unreasonable. There are some protections for us, but for the most part, what it said is that we may not absolutely be able to make you do this, but we can probably make you wish you had. So they've dangled some financial incentives out there for folks to come along beside them and embrace the facility program, and we did it cheerfully because we knew that we certainly needed it.
And you had bought the property a long time ago.
We've known for a long time we needed a new facility.
Sure.
But the EBE program, which we referenced much earlier, it's an acronym for Essential Brand Elements, and an effort to make sure that certain GM stores and brands had a particular look and had certain features in them. And we embraced it. We went all out. We did not go to the minimum standard. In fact, we have a flagship facility. We went above and beyond what was required from GM to meet their requirement, and they're quite pleased about it, and we are too.
Absolutely. So, I know you were telling me that you have to get everything approved, even down to the blinds that you're looking at putting
not
at.
Not a blind,
to,
oh, a shade.
Shade, excuse
shade,
me,
yes.
The shade, yes. So,
some of those things, like tile, we had zero say-so about tile.
Maybe that was a good thing.
Well, if you're a Russ, it was, because we would have thought about it and talked about it and looked and shopped and looked and went back and forth between beige and tall. So, yeah, it worked out okay for us.
Yeah, I know. We even walked by the water cooler there, and you said, you know, the architect said, no, you have to go with this one. Because
absolutely.
It all fits that kind of retro-modernistic look that you're going for there.
It did. Such an education I got through the whole process. I did not realize how much say-so the architect had about the components in the store, the fixtures, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the fixtures. And he was quite insistent on certain things being used and would not compromise in many areas. But what he was after, and we appreciate now that it's all over, could we have saved a few dollars here and there by eliminating some of those? Yes, but now that it's all done and over with, we understand completely the feel and the look that he was after.
Absolutely. Now, Brad, how many people actually work there? Have you had to add any more people? Or
we have not. We have 28. Yes, I think it's 28 full-time employees. And you mentioned that we had to add folks. One of the very first things we talked about with our architect and our builder was we do not want to design and construct a store that will require us to go have to hire 3, 4, 5 more people just to do the things that we're currently doing. Now, hey, we hope we have to hire a lot of people if business dictates that we hire new people, but to be doing just the same amount of business, no, we did not want to do that. So where my people are located within the store became critical because our people multitask and all of our people have a job. There are certain things that certain people have to do. And so where they're located in that building and how they're able to interact with the customers, very, very, very important to us. And we're day 3 in our new building, and the flow of our customers through our facility, the flow of our employees, the flow of paperwork, administration, it's a hit. It's a home run. We could not be more pleased.
Absolutely. Now, the shop out there, God, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it is organized to be able to turn the cars through there, I maybe should say.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, there again, when you've working out of a facility, back to that whole parts department thing, you know, a lot's changed in 45 years. And until you immerse yourself in some of the new strategies and the new technologies, you just don't know what all is out there. And, of course, building a brand-new facility from the ground up, we were able to find out about those efficiencies, acquire those efficiencies, and put them to work. And we've done that in our new spot.
Yeah, it looks great, and plenty of room to be able to take on a lot of repairs out there, too,
yes,
right?
Yes, ma'am, absolutely.
So give them a call, check it out. They have a nice, you can actually drive right in, go right there to the service department, easy and nice and just very fresh there. I know you were commenting, are you going to be able to keep those white walls white?
We don't know.
but a little
nervous about that, but we're going to try real hard.
Absolutely. But, I know people, it is the car season. People are looking at cars. It looks like the car market is making a little bit of a turn there. But a lot of people, of course, are interested in new cars, but then they're also interested in a good deal on a good used car. And, you
yes,
know,
ma'am.
We talked a little bit about earlier, somebody called in and said, do you have any deals on where the used cars go?
Where are they? Yes.
Yes.
Well, they're right there. It's just they look so doggone good in that fresh blacktop. You don't know that they're used, but we've got them all right there.
So they still have the super deals. They still have the great customer service. In fact, they're going to be even ramping up that customer service more in this new building.
Indeed, we are. You know, this whole new building has just been an opportunity to kind of revisit some of your procedures and policies, and I alluded to it earlier. We're gonna start playing offense now. Over the last several years, we've kind of maybe been in a bit of a rut about various different things, but with improved morale that we've been able to experience through the new facilities, just a chance to also elevate our customer service. And not that I would think that we've been lacking or deficient in any way, but just go that extra mile. Deliver not just to the customer standard or expectation, but go a step farther, and we're trying hard to do that.
Absolutely. And just for the record, if you have to wait on your car, if you're waiting on it, they have a super facility for you to sit down and relax. You've got Wi-Fi there. You've got a nice flat-screen TVs. And a convenience center right there. So everything has been thought of when it came to putting this place together. Now, I will say this. Gary does take his time doing things, and I've just found out that Brad believes in this policy, too. But when you guys come through, you really come through.
Yes, ma'am. Well, and, you know, we laugh about that, and you're right. But as we processed through this, there were several moments where we said to each other and thought to each other, you know what, doggone it, we've waited this long. Let's don't cut corners now. Let's give our employees, let's give our customers a facility that they can be especially proud of. Not just a new spot, but an outstanding spot as well. So,
you said it all when you said a flagship store.
Yes,
I mean,
ma'am.
That's pretty impressive, particularly in this economy, to come on that strong. That's
sure.
Quite a statement, and that's a very big statement for Greenwood.
We're confident in Greenwood. We're confident that the economy will continue to improve, and we're confident in GM. A hard season for them through the bankruptcy, but a lot of those problems were 30, 40 years in the making, and the leadership we have, the leadership they have, I feel like the future is bright for GM. Had to go through some painful seasons, eliminating some brands and even some dealers, but with a healthy balance sheet, I think the future is going to be great for them.
So what do you like in cars or trucks down there, Brad?
Well,
what do you
know,
really like?
I mean, I'm not a huge car guy. I don't know. If I could have anything, if I had to buy something for my family.
To buy one, yes,
yeah,
here we go.
Well, no, I mean, I do. I buy them all in a sense. But,
right.
For families, I think the Suburban is without an equal. I mean, when you look at the space and the amenities that Suburbans have, the comfortable ride, drive. Suburban's probably my favorite.
Your favorite?
Yeah.
You know, some of the things that they're putting in cars now, did you ever think we'd see some of the things?
No, I didn't. You know, I'm not an old guy. I mean, I'm just 42, but I can't believe the things that these cars are getting, not just the electronic stuff, but even some of the mechanical things. I mean, it's amazing when you consider the technology that's getting poured into these vehicles. Things you didn't know you need, now you think you couldn't do without.
Absolutely.
I can remember when I first started selling cars, which was in 1992, I can remember, and this was a common occurrence, folks coming up on the yard, and you would have some cars with keyless entry and some cars without.
Mm-hmm.
And if you showed someone a car with keyless entry, I'm telling you, in a lot of the cases, especially if you're dealing with someone that was north of 60 back then, oh, no, I don't want that keyless entry. That's just one more thing to break. But who would think of buying a car now without keyless entry?
Sure.
You know, so that's 20 years ago, but, yeah, neat little things like that that are coming.
What do you think the future of the electric car is? What do you think?
Well, I don't think it's real good.
Okay.
I don't.
We like our gas.
Yeah, we do. I think what you're probably going to see is you're going to see more, and when I say hybrid, people immediately think of the plug-in hybrids. When I say hybrid, I mean a combination of two things. Just your standard combustion
gas
engine.
Mm-hmm.
There's some natural gas technologies that are out there now.
What do you think about natural gas? Is that going to be a good one for the? Isn't there a problem with the size of the tank or whatever?
There he is, and the whole delivery thing. You know, even if you find some fuel that, if some magic fuel showed up tomorrow that no one knew anything about, that's great. But how are you going to distribute it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the thing with the natural gas is, okay, how do you distribute it efficiently? That's hard to do. GM and all the automakers are doing a lot of things with transmissions. We've gone, just in the last 5 years, we've gone from a standard 4-speed transmission to a standard 6-speed transmission in our full-size line of pickup trucks and sport utilities. All of that has as its goal of improving fuel efficiencies. I think there's a lot of unrealized capacities in some of those technologies that you're going to be hearing more about and seeing more of. Bottom line is, Americans have been slow to embrace the electrical offerings that are out there on the road right now. And, hey, the Volt's a great car. It's got lots of neat technology. But until something becomes practical and economical, it's going to be hard to make a dent in the driving public.
Well, I'll just say this. You know, when I put my foot on the gas, I want to hear that.
There you go. Most Americans do.
That's right. It's all American. Exactly. So, Brad, it certainly has been great for you to come down here. I hope you're going to keep us apprised that if we're going to have some special deals or special things coming up, you'll let us know so we can make sure the people, our listeners here, know all about what's happening right there at Gary Russ. And congratulations again on the super facility down there. What a flagship store for Greenwood.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been fun.
Absolutely. So we have been right here with Brad Russ. Of course, he's right down there at Gary Russ Chevrolet. Got a fabulous facility. Come on by. Take a look at it. And, hey, if you want a tour, they'd love to give you a tour. 229-2521. That's 229-2521. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. I'm going to have a little break, and then I'll be back with Happy Hour. Don't you go away.